It's the Three Wise Men, everybody. Welcome in Lima Land. I'm Danny Holbrook, joined by Miles Holiday, Nate Garlock, and Dave Bowen, joining the Three Wise Men today. The Fourth Wise Man, let's just say it.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Or Wide Man. I don't know.
We'll go with it. Gentlemen, it's good to be back in town. You know, I had a little vacation time away from you two. I hope things were good last week.
They're fantastic.
You're gone?
Probably the best we've ever had.
Wait, we didn't miss him.
Did you miss him?
I didn't realize he was gone.
Wow.
Where were you?
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
You're out of town?
Yeah, I was out of town.
Oh, really. For how long?
About 4 or 5 days.
Really?
Yeah. I got recognized in Vegas. Miles and I did.
Maybe
Miles did.
Maybe that should be the best thing all week. Hey, was he was gone.
Yeah, we didn't miss him.
Tough crowd.
Listen, you go on vacation without us. You're going to catch it when you come back.
I know it.
That's on you.
You're right. I forgive you. I forgive me or whatever. Yeah. All right, guys, let's get right into it.
Did he just forgive himself for not taking us on vacation?
I know,
yeah,
right?
That sounds.
Right.
You know what? That checks out. Yeah. That sounds about right.
That's a kid from Georgia a couple years ago that sneezed and blessed himself. He's like, "Bless you." Oh, thank you.
No,
that's a long story.
Anyways, I have no idea what that's about.
You guys don't remember anything.
No,
33 episodes before we finally went off the rails.
It went off a long time ago.
I think what Danny's trying to say is, what's the best thing we saw all
yeah,
week?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go.
Best thing we saw all week.
We got the namesake.
Yeah. I know. Well, Dave, you want to go first?
I sure do.
We named a segment after you?
Yeah, this will be great. I've got two things, because again, that's why it's named after me.
Really? Because you got a bunch of scribbling over there.
I do. I've done my research. First of all, the Reds, I mean, they're playing well. 24-2 here Sunday, and a great victory, so I like what Tito's doing with the club. But locally, I got to talk about the rivalry school in Van Wert County. For me as a Crestview Knight, I got to give kudos to a freshman pitcher at Lincoln View softball style. Isla Hughes, last week, she had a perfect game against LCC on Thursday. The previous Monday, she had a no-hitter against Lima Bath.
Wow.
I saw Isla pitch as an eighth grader. Three warm-up pitches, and I walked away. The Crestview-Lincoln View rivalry came out. I'm like, I don't want to watch any more of this.
Oh, no.
I'm going to hear about her the next 4 years. I think she's going to be the NWC Player of the Year for 4 years and above and beyond that. And Lincoln View has a really, really good ball club, which I think we're talking about our sensational teams of the week. That's a little foreshadowing for later on. But Isla Hughes, just an outstanding week for Lincoln View, and Lincoln View softball has really got it rolling.
Any chance she transfers over to Crestview?
We'll see what we can do as
NIL?
Far as
new.
Yeah, maybe we can get her free meals.
You run the foundation over there, dude.
Cheers and Gears, yeah.
Barbecue and convoy.
What's
the balance on that budget?
compliments to Isla, though. We've heard a lot about her over that way when she was in junior high, and as a freshman, she's backing it up both with her arm pitching and with the bat hitting the softball.
That's awesome.
For me, I'm going to go to the track. So obviously, track, you know, is well underway around the area. There's been some really good performances so far this year. So I wanted to highlight a couple of those. Merrick Donaldson. Coming out of basketball season. Yeah, the point guard from Bluffton did a great job for them on the hardwood. Decided to go out for track this year.
Yeah.
First time. Never ran track before.
Yeah, we saw him at Bath. Mm-hmm.
This week at the Ottawa Glandorf Blue and Gold Invitational, he ran the mile. So he didn't like come out and run 100 meters like sometimes you'll see guys do to stay in shape. He's like, let me be a distance runner. And all he did was he went to Ottawa Glandorf, this big invitational, and he wins the 1,600 meters in 4:34.
Oh, boy.
just decides he's going to run and runs a 4:30 mile. Unbelievable. I saw that, and I couldn't believe it. Shout out to Mark Allstatter. You know, we had him on the show. We talked about his great coverage. He's the one.
Loves track.
Yeah, and shined a spotlight on that, the fact that this is Merrick's first year running track. Got to give credit to OG Boys, too, in that they won the Invitational overall as a team. They scored in all 17 events ran at that track
meet. That's amazing.
It's incredible. The depth that you have to have to be able to score points in every single event ran at a track meet is ridiculous.
You know, I've coached track, and you've coached track, and I think the most I've ever seen a team that I coached was like 8 or 9 events that we scored in. Yeah. And you're thinking, man, that's really good.
Yeah, we did rule.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Every single one they put points up. It is incredible. So congratulations to them. And then finally, a little bit south of our area, but over in Sydney High School, they had a state record get set over the weekend. Senior Garrett Ginther of Sydney High School, he set the new OHSA record in pole vault, 17 feet, 3 1/4 inches. But that by itself that's is Sergei incredible, Bubka right? Stuff, that's awesome. But yeah. What caught my eye about that, what made it one of my best things that I saw of the week, was I saw the video as it hit social media, you know, like, hey, here's the state record jump. When you watch everybody around that pole vault area, everybody, every team, all of his teammates, the other teams, everybody. And then when he hit that jump and he hit that vault and he set the record, the place exploded. It even beyond the Sydney track athletes. That's it was such a great video to watch. A big milestone for him. Congratulations to him. But watching just that celebration of being able to be a part of somebody setting a record was a lot of fun to watch as well.
Very reminiscent when you ate the 21 hot dogs last year. Everybody was all excited for you.
Super excited.
To win that. Yeah, the Wiener Champ. That was amazing. The Wiener Champ. Yeah. I have a bunch here, right?
Of course you do.
Number one, Tim. Rylan Jones at Allen East ran her first race at Columbus Grove. Now, it was not great. She fell, looked like she hurt herself again under hurdles. But what I did like is that she got up, and instead of people helping her get off the track, she made sure that she walked off the track herself. That shows you that determination and the toughness that she has. So that was, to me, that was outstanding. Let her rest a little bit, let her get healthy again, and then she'll be back winning state titles again. The enthusiasm for the people at Columbus Grove that they have, not just athletics, but for track, was outstanding, man. We did the track meet, Randy Roberts and I did over there. They love their track. They turned the lights on. They played the music. You know, the light show that they have for football. Well, they broke it out for track, too. Nice. Kids were going absolutely nuts over that. The reaction to the King and Queen of the Court tournament that we had, people absolutely loved it. So the next step, folks, how do we make this into a real thing, right? That's we got to do this. We got to make that a real thing. And then last but not least,
Don't touch my belt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You didn't win this.
All right. I was going to say, Nate just got back from the White House where he was invited because he won the slow-footed 40. He is the champ.
Me and Ohio State this weekend.
The amazing start that you had to win.
Did you drop your belt? I heard he did. Yeah.
To win that state, that championship, the slow-footed 40, was absolutely amazing. If you haven't seen it on social media, it's lightning quick. It really incredible. Is. You said for weeks you were going to win it because winners win.
That's right.
You found a way to win it. Yep. I am just proud to share a table and a microphone with you.
Well, you're welcome. And, you know,
you two are just ridiculous.
Part of this was too is seeing the grace in which you have lost and you've dealt with this.
Yeah.
I'm actually really proud of you. I expected this to be way worse. I got to be honest with you.
No,
you've handled this really well.
I am just so proud of the fact, you know, a lot of people last week attacked you on social media saying that you cheated and that you stole
it. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And I had you
blasphemy.
I had you on the show Saturday. And I stood up for you because what do winners find a way to do? They find a way to win.
I found
a
way.
That's what Nate did.
That's right. And listen, I took some time out on the show over the weekend because I've read the hate. I've gotten it. I understand people hate seeing people succeed. And, you know, it was weighing on me a little bit. So I was glad you gave me that platform. And I will repeat it here because in case anybody had missed it. And this way people can come back all the time because you don't hear this from me very often. All right. And so I understand that, you know, there are some people who may not be happy with the results or how this whole thing played out. And that we have some people who, you know, they feel a certain way about it. All right. And so for all of those people, from the bottom of my heart, I want to take a minute and I just want everybody to know, I apologize for nothing. I am a champion. I won. I will forever be the champion. And you can take this from me out of my cold, dead hands.
This is what have we sunk to on this show? The lowest of the lows.
Winners win, baby.
Gentlemen, for me, got back in to town Thursday evening. And
you're out of town? Where were you?
Yeah, never mind.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. checking up on all the scores and everything, and I noticed an explosion in high school baseball. And I talked about this today on the radio show with Chad Spencer, and I said, you look down the line, Hardin Northern scored 21 runs. Miller City, 24 runs. Marion Local, 19 runs. Audeville, Danville 13, Minster 13, Wapa 18 runs. And I thought that was a really good thing. I'm like, wow, that gets some people excited and generated. Chad didn't agree. He said it was an indication of some really bad pitching and some bad defense. And he wasn't as big a fan as for me. I think of things to get people excited about high school baseball. And look, it's a tough sport to play in Ohio. We all know that. You know, there's a lot of cancellations, and we see a lot of, you know, weeks where you're playing 3 and 4 and 5 games. Yeah. To me, it's a little exciting, you know. And
it's been interesting because usually you don't see those high scoring things at this point of the season,
right?
Because weather just seems to slam the door on offense. Yeah. So we've had some pretty rough weather here to begin this baseball season. So to see these types of runs being put up, it's very peculiar for sure. Yeah.
Dave, nobody that says it's no big deal playing in the cold has never turned on an inside fastball on a handle and your hands are vibrating afterwards.
Correct. And then if you're having a good game in the snow or whatever, you want to keep playing and get it in. You don't want them to cancel it with 4 innings and all your stats get
makes
thrown
you nervous
out the window
as
well. But yeah, it's tough. I do still like a 3-2. Real tough.
Says a guy that was happy with 24 runs by the Reds.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it just because it means the game's going a lot faster. Outs go
quick. True as well.
We're moving them high school games right along.
But maybe the bunt's part of the game, too. That's always fun to watch.
And the other thing, too, is when I was in Vegas, I went to the Nate Garlock School of Tourism and found the sports book.
Financial decisions.
I went into a local establishment, and they gave me a 350-1 odds for the Browns to win the Super Bowl. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to throw a little bit of cash down.
Put a dollar down.
Away.
You?
I'm going to throw a little bit of money away.
My wife was like, how much? I said, you know, $100 wouldn't be a bad thing.
Oh,
and she's like, how much can you win? And I'm like, a lot. You know, we'll come back in
February. To win the Super Bowl?
Yes. Yes.
I can't believe you got 350-1.
It doesn't matter.
I assume that's low.
Yeah.
You know what?
But you made the bet.
You could, in all fairness, for this segment, it would have been a lot better if you just brought that $100 here.
Yeah.
We held it up and lit it on fire.
Well, I didn't make
it would have had the exact same result. It was gone forever.
I didn't make the bet. Mrs. Holbrook talked me out of it.
Oh, good for her.
She's
the brains of the operation. She's the brains of the operation.
I got a lot that I'm looking to sell on the Lima Beach. Nice property.
But I heard you got a cup that might be kind of valuable, right?
A lot of money. Yeah.
Las Vegas is one of my favorite sports cities in the world. It is absolutely. If you're a sports junkie, it's the place to go. So yeah, we had a
or gambler.
Yeah. Well. That too.
I'm going out in June.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm going back in September. I'm just gonna be honest with everybody. So I'll probably throw my cash down in September. I might get better odds once training camp breaks and they see how bad we really are. Then I'll probably get better odds.
That quarterback room is set. I'm kind of surprised that it hasn't jumped.
Isn't Flacco older than you?
No. As a matter of fact, he looks older than me because I've got the movie star looks. But, we're good. Yeah. It's interview time here on the Three Wise Men. Danny Holbrook, Miles Holiday, Nate Garlock, Dave Bowen, and head coach Doug Etzler from the Crestview Knights. Thanks for spending some time with us, Doug.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Let's get right into it. Doug, you come from such a great program. Every year you guys are at the top of the league in the Northwest Conference, and you do it the right way. Do you ever feel any pressure to win, or is it just the culture at Crestview? Because you never lose at any sport. You guys are really good at everything.
I don't think it's a pressure situation. I do believe it's more of a culture thing. I think our kids expect to win. Our community kind of expects that. But as far as a coach putting pressure on that to happen, we have high expectations, and our kids try to achieve those expectations. But I don't feel a lot of pressure to do that. Obviously, everybody wants to do that. But I just think it's a culture that we have built into our school system and our community, and our kids live up to that most years.
Do you... When you look back on your career, your playing time at Crestview, I mean, the Etzler name at Crestview holds a lot of weight, and your dad, a legendary high school coach. Do you still talk to dad to this day about coaching, and do you do X's and O's? Because I would go to him like every day.
We don't talk a ton of X's and O's, but we talk a lot of basketball. You know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? He's had a ton of questions about rent sheets. Is he going to go play? What are you doing to help him? Things like that. But it's always good to have a sounding board like that. But to know he's in my corner, you know, he's one of the guys that's, you know, talk about legendary guys. I don't run across anybody that when I talk to them, it's never about me. It's, hey, how's your dad doing? So,
I asked him that on the radio. That's the first thing I said. How's your dad doing?
And that's a great thing. You know, I appreciate, you know, all the things he's done for Crestview, but, you know, for me as an individual too, it's been a blessing.
Coach, you brought up Ren Sheets. Obviously, a tremendous player. We selected him as our Defensive Player of the Year. What made him so special on the defensive end?
Just defensively, he seems to always be in the right spot at the right time. He's got a great feel for the game, and it's allowed us to do some things out front with our guards where we knew if we got beat, you have Ren behind. He alters shots, he blocks shots, but he just puts a lot of pressure. We knew we never had to double down inside with him in the post, but just his IQ for basketball, and he's had that, I just felt, as a freshman. He's always had a great feel for where he needs to be, and we're going to miss that for sure.
Absolutely. And exciting that he's going to go play at Defiance.
Yeah, I'm real excited for him. It was one of those things you don't want to bother a kid, and I didn't know how interested he was. But Defiance, up and coming, they put together a great package for him, and I'm really excited for him, and I can't wait to see what he does at that level.
Well, Nate, you got relative that coaches there, right?
Well, yeah, you know, very involved. And, you know, I mean, to me, what Defiance is doing with all the local talent, right? Yeah, Ren Sheets and a lot of the other guys in this area are going there. So for us, it's awesome because we don't have to go that far to watch all these great players that we've been watching over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. So that's exciting, and Ren's one of them. You know, you talk about Ren, and he's not the only great player that's come through that program. Crestview has had very recently a nice run of really, really good players. You know, what is it that, I mean, is in the water apparently over at Crestview that just, it's just churning out these uber talented. I mean, you got, you know, obviously you had the Etzler brothers. They both went and played Division One. Ren Sheets, so many other guys. What is it about Crestview and all the players that are going through there that make them such high quality basketball players?
I think one thing is just the tradition. You know, Ren grew up watching the Etzler brothers play, and the Etzler brothers, you know, they watched Cam and Damian Helm, and you've always had someone to kind of model yourself after, and I want to be like that person. And I think Ren's another one that our young kids are looking at, that I want to be the next Ren Sheet. So we've been blessed, and I think that just kind of, it just kind of cycles through where I want to be the next guy that is the Ren Sheets of Crestview basketball, and we've been fortunate. We've had some really good ones.
Yeah. Well, what's it like to be able to coach these players? Obviously, a very successful career of your own. A lot of great players, now that you've coached, they're having great careers. What's it like? Do they seek you out? Do they want that leadership and that mentorship as they're coming up and kind of wanting a little bit more from you than maybe a regular player will, because they know they kind of have that little extra?
I haven't really had that with Ren where he's seeking that out. Ren's a really quiet kid. I mean, very quiet, leads by example of what he does on the floor. But they've allowed us to coach him hard, I think, more than anything. Not really them seeking us out, but when we talk to them, they are very receptive to what we say. And it's not, we're trying to fight you. We think you can be even a little bit better than what you're playing right now, even though you're really good. And he's been one of those guys that whatever we've asked him to do, he's done it for us. And same thing when we had Kalen, you know, when Kalen played, obviously a Division I player, a lot of those kids think they've already arrived and they don't really want to take that coaching. But I've been blessed that the guys I've worked with at Crestview, they've listened to everything we've said, and they try to take it to that level that we ask them.
You know, Coach, Ren Sheets, again, back-to-back Northwest Conference Player of the Year. I know that's a step below Defensive Player of the Year by the three wise men.
Dave is right.
That's why we have him on the show.
Exactly. But would you speak to what Ren gave you this year as a senior that you really wanted to see from him, and you got it?
I think the main thing is we've asked him to be very aggressive. And his first several years, up to even his junior year, is almost like he didn't want to step on anybody's toes. Mm-hmm. And I remember his sophomore year, our state year, Ren, no one's going to be upset if you get 20 and 10 every night. We're going to throw you the ball, and we expect you to do good things when you get it. But he's been, I don't want to say passive, but very willing passer, which is good, too. But this year we said, Ren, you know, when you get it, you might have two or three guys on you most nights, most plays, most possessions, and we still want you to go attack the basket, because, I mean, he shot 73% with that. So we want you to do that. And I think that's something that he did a little bit more this year than what he's done in the past. And I think he saw more attention this year than what he has in the past and still put up his best numbers as far as points per game. He had our all-time field goal percentage. He was our leader last year. Wow. He would have been in sophomore year if I could have got him enough shots, but I didn't do a good enough job that year. But then he broke it again this year, and I know he had more attention on him this year than what he had in the past. So I think just the aggressiveness at the offensive end. And then we had him playing inside the whole time. His junior year, we had, you know, two or three guys that were about his size, and he was the most agile. So a lot of times we had him on the perimeter more than what we had liked to, but because he could do that, we did that. So this year we had him inside. He was a great shot blocker for us, but offensively he was a lot more aggressive this year than what he was.
Coach, you guys started out 2-3, I believe.
Yeah,
and then you got a game unbelievable win at Wayne Trace that gets you at 3-3, and then what, 13 in a row? What changed? What started clicking?
I don't know if it changed a whole lot. The teams that beat us early were pretty good. Yeah. Miller City beating us on the road. We had Lima Shawnee, you know, we were up by 15 in the fourth quarter and couldn't put them away. And, you know, if we go into Wayne Trace and lose that game, right, it was one of those games that we didn't play our best. They probably didn't play their best. But if we lose that game, you don't know how things would have, you know, shook out. So I think just a little bit of a confidence boost that night. Wayne Trace is going to be a really good team.
Yeah.
We didn't play our best. We came out of here with a win. And then we just kind of got things rolling where kids understood what it was going to take. Mm-hmm. We had a few new guys that were starting this year that played valuable roles off the bench for us. Now you're starters. And, you know, it just kind of got going for us. I don't know if it was one thing that really stuck out. But we played a lot more home games after that, too, and that helped a little bit.
I like how Miles tied it into his performance and you guys winning. I do like that.
They lose if I'm not there.
Coach, I want to go back years ago. You're at Taze Valley. Things are going well. You're married, you know, starting a family. And the phone rings, and you get that call. The mothership calls. Did you have that feeling that I'm going back there someday? I want to do this. Or can you go through that process? Because, you know, I think we all envision, you know, going home and being that guy. And, man, you've done it. like you've delivered everything that was expected of you when that phone rang that night.
Yeah, I'm fortunate because, honestly, no, I didn't think that would ever happen. Coach Best is there. He's about my age. He's been to state 3 times. He's won it twice.
And now you got a coach against
him?
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere because he's a young guy. And I was really surprised that it opened up. And obviously when it opens up, then your mind starts, you know, what could be. And I'm fortunate that it did happen. But I never thought that with the situation I was in, I was happy at Taze Valley. Coach Best was doing great at Crestview.
Yes, he was.
And, you know, he's going to do great until we both retire is what I thought. But, yeah, when the phone rang, I was very excited, though.
And, we, you know, you talk about, you know, he says coming home. That's not always the easiest thing to do, right? There's a lot of extra pressure. People know you. They feel they can talk to you a lot differently than maybe they can somebody they're not comfortable with. There's a lot of extra stuff that comes along with that. Did that give you any pause? Did you have to kind of think about it for a minute and go, I want to do this, but can I do this?
I don't. The biggest pause was the age of my kids at that time. Gavin was going to be going into his freshman year, but my daughter was going to be a junior. So Gavin was all about it. You know, he had been back. He'd seen our state runs. He had a chance to. He's going to get to play with Kalen for a couple years. So he was all on board. But my daughter was a junior at the time, and to get her to move away from her friends. And right. Taze Valley girls, they're very good softball, very good basketball. And her best friends played all the sports with her. So I was a little more apprehensive of what she would want to do. And it was going to be a family decision. Obviously, I really want to do it. But if they're not all comfortable doing it, I'm not unhappy at Taze Valley. So everything had to fall into place. And I was fortunate. I think our kids have enjoyed it, being a part of the Crestview community. So I think it's worked out great. But coming home is a lot of pressure, but I didn't look at it from that angle more than I looked at it from the family angle.
Danny, you brought up Taze Valley and something we've talked about on this show as well as on our broadcasts during the winters, 7 divisions. Mm-hmm. Well, Coach Etzler brings 14 years of coaching experience at Taze Valley, which is small Division I. He's taken Crestview to the state championship game in Division IV. We're 7 divisions now. Coach, I'd like you to speak about the 7 divisions as you see it now and what it was like coaching a small D1 school in 4 divisions.
Seven now is, I guess it's the new norm. I was hoping when we went to seven that maybe Division Six would be a lot easier than that. And by no means did it not work out that way at all. But
didn't go as planned, did it?
But when I was at Taze Valley, my first year of coaching, we were two boys over to be Division One. So, I mean, and Division Two is no slouch in Central High either, but Division One, you had the Northlands, and then you have all the OCC schools, the Hilliards, the Reynoldsburgs, the Pickeringtons, and it's a gauntlet to get through. And honestly, when I was at Taze Valley, if we made it to the district, that was a great tournament run for us. And that's not what you expect here now at Crestview. That's not a very good tournament run. Right. So when I was there, I was pushing hard for just split Division One up. You know, when we go into tournament draw and I'm going in there, I'm looking like all of these schools are almost twice as big as me. We have 300 and some, they have 800 and some. I'm like, that's not real fair.
No.
And I thought, you know, even if you don't split 2, 3, and 4, can we split one and give us a smaller one and 1, 1A, however you want to label it? But I was a big, you know, proponent. I wanted that to happen a lot just to give us a little bit more of a fair shake, I thought, with the number situation. And, you know, seven, is that the right number? I don't know if that's the right number. I think it's the new number that we're going to see, and it is what it is. But, yeah, I was big on, I thought we needed to move from 4 to 5 from my perspective at Taze Valley. It was, I thought it was unfair. I mean, we're going in the tournament and they have twice as many boys as we have. That's a hard challenge to go against every year.
Well, you talk about Division Six and how difficult that was. You know, obviously, with Division Seven, everybody's first year trying to kind of figure out the landscape of everything. Division Six, this district here, it was you guys, LCC. Columbus Grove and Bluffton. That was a heck of a district coming out of that. So, even though, you know, you're talking about a Division One, 1A, and maybe we're expanded, districts all of a sudden may become a lot more difficult somehow for you guys, even with teams moving out and around. What does that do for you guys now that you've got this first year under your belt, you're heading into this first offseason, knowing what the postseason will look like, looking towards next year's regular season? Is it changing how you guys are preparing and getting ready and building the schedule for next year?
No, from a schedule standpoint, obviously you play your league schools, and that's one thing that was probably the most different is Division Six was really the Northwest Conference. So you had most of our teams that we played during the season for our league is that's your Division Six tournament. So that's a little bit different, and I kind of compare. I was at Shawnee way back when Jamar Butler, and so we're talking back in 97, and that's kind of how it was for the WBL in Division Two. Then, you know, we went to the sectional and district, and you had to beat your WBL schools to get out. That's how I kind of feel it changed. I always thought the Elida district for Division Four was a great difference. You know, if you can get out of there, you got a pretty good shot to get out of Bowling Green. I kind of look at that now for six, it's just different schools. You know, Bluffton was always a little bit bigger. Spencerville was always a little bit bigger. They were playing the Division Three schools. LCC, they bounced between 3 and 4, so we kind of avoided them when they were 3 and we were 4. But it's not going to get any easier. The schools are – and going into it, you know, you throw a – it could have been Spencerville, Marion Local. I mean, it was really good, and then the Walpock one was really good too. So around here, Division Six, no matter where you go, it's going to be tough. And for the foreseeable future, it's going to continue to be tough.
Coach, we're all Buckeye fans here, right? Remember you playing for the Buckeyes. So my question is, great memories that you had playing for the Buckeyes, and what did you learn playing for a guy like Randy Ayers?
You know, as a little kid growing up, you know, it's great memories just when they recruited me. I remember starting to get some letters in the mail and things like that.
Mail?
We didn't have email back then. We didn't have computers.
But, Pony Express.
You know, how are you, Dick?
I was just excited to be on their radar. And then when they actually started calling, you know, that's a dream come true for a small town. You have an opportunity to be maybe a Jay Burson, you know, that's Dennis Hobson.
Oh, yeah.
All those names that you see, and then you get a chance, they invite you on campus. And I don't know if I have one just memory, but just the whole recruiting process, like they're recruiting a kid from Convoy, Ohio, and it was just kind of overwhelming, but just a dream come true. And then Coach Ayers, I went in when I got there, it was that like a hype.
Oh, absolutely.
We were the number one seed the year before I got there. in the tournament, a number one seed my first year. We were back-to-back Big Ten champions. I mean, I played with some – I practiced against. I didn't get to play a whole lot my first couple years. But, you know, Mark Baker and Jamal Brown and Chris Jett and Jimmy Jackson and just some great guys. Basketball, phenomenal, but just great guys to learn from and kind of take me under their wing and house things done the right way. I was blessed at the time I arrived there. And then when they left – I guess I didn't do a good enough job because we kind of fell off towards the end of my career. We had a really good class after me that didn't make it all the way through. But talent-wise, I mean, we had some phenomenal players that came in. But just to be a part of Ohio State basketball, if you're a small-town guy growing up, it is just a dream come true.
Coach, what is now that Wren has moved on and he's going to Defiance, what is the future at Crestview High School? What does it look like for next year? And I know that's probably not a fair question because, you know, the season's just over. But obviously, as a coach, you're still thinking about what can we do next year?
Who a lot
do we
of replace? Seniors gone, right?
Yeah, yeah right. That's why I asked
that. We lost Tommy Hefner and Wren Sheets. So we only had two, but two really important ones for us. I mean, Tommy was our second leading scorer, ran the point for us. And I thought he made a big jump from junior year to senior year of how well he played. Wren being a four-year starter for us. So we're losing some big pieces. But we have, you know, of our top seven, five of our top seven coming back. So, you know, when we end our season, we always talk about expectations. And, you know, whether they like it or not, we're not going to lower the expectations. We expect them to compete for the NWC title. We expect to play a home tournament game. You want to make it so that you have, you know, a good run to the Elida Fieldhouse and hopefully get a chance to play at BG. So, you know, we think we have really good players coming back, but we do have some big holes to fill. Luckily, last year, these guys stepped in, you know, some guys playing some new roles, and they did a great job. We're hoping they can do that again, and then we'll see a little bit more this summer when we go and for the first time in 4 years don't play with Wren, how things go. But I think, you know, his brother Will is going to do a great job for us. Different type of player, but big, strong, physical kid that's very – a little different than Wren. He is aggressive, and we're going to continue to get the ball inside to him. And we got some guys around him with some experience that can shoot the ball a little bit. So we are hoping things can go okay, but we'll see once we suited up.
I think you guys will be okay.
I think we'll do okay, but our league's not going to get any easier. Spencerville has great kids come to Bluffton, had a great JV team with the guys they have coming back, and Allen East had a young team. It's going to be a tough
Some kid named Jordan Pretty still out there.
Too. And LCC, I mean, I haven't, I guess, fully grasped it. They're in our league again.
Because, still got that St. John's team just down the road.
Yeah, it's going to be good basketball Northwest Conference next
year. The guys get excited when they see that WSN's there? They're going to be on TV. Is that one of those things that guys get excited about? And furthermore, are they really excited that Diamond Dave's always on the call?
Our guys are spoiled. I don't think, and I say this all the time when I talk TV and radio, I was at Taze Valley for 14 years, and we weren't on the radio one time, let alone TV. I mean, it's football is king in Central Ohio, and football Friday night is a different animal. During the year at Taze Valley, you play a lot of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. It's not always Friday, Saturday like it is here for our guys. But, yeah, our guys get excited, and we've been blessed that we've been – good enough in the past that gets us on the next year. So, you know, that's something we strive that we want to play well enough that we can get on the radio, get on the TV. And we've been blessed since I've been there that we're on a lot.
I think Miles has got some rapid-fire questions.
I do. I got four rapid-fire questions for you guys. Coach, I don't know if you know, but we had a King and a Queen tournament, one-on-one tournament, and it was well-received, right? Mm-hmm. We'd love to do it for real. It was all pretend. We just picked the winners, right? So I'm going to ask you some one-on-one questions, and I have four rapid-fire ones for you, okay? Number one, Dennis Hobson versus Jimmy Jackson in one-on-one. Who wins that one?
I'm going Jimmy Jackson. Yeah. I played with him. Phenomenal. As a teammate, he could score it and very unselfish, great passer. But I'm a little biased. He's my teammate, so I'm picking Jimmy.
Yeah, I ran home when I was a kid to watch Jimmy Jackson highlights in Toledo. Etzler family, you guys have a one-on-one tournament. Who wins that one?
If I just
he's got a pain look.
He's got a little sauce.
Andy, if you're going just my brothers, I'm gonna pick me hands down. Andy, but when you throw the whole Etzler family in there, just Kalen's length and bounce. Yeah. he's got a little bit more bounce than what most of us. Most of us aren't the most athletic. He is one that is a little bit more athletic, and he's 6'7". I mean, he can get up a little bit more than what the rest of us
can. Can I get in on that one?
I wish I had the non-athleticism that your family has. Just a little bit of that Division One athlete non-athleticism would be awesome.
You guys are not playing D1, playing D2.
I'll take the D3 talent.
First of all, Miles, that's a great question. Again, I coached some of the Etzler boys. I played with Etzler boys and everything. But I'm putting my money on Javen, just attitude, too. He's not going to be denied.
He can shoot it, too. Exactly. Another one, 6'7", is hard to defend.
All right, now, for the first time ever, two buildings are going to compete in one-on-one. St. John Arena versus the Schottenstein Center. Who wins that one?
It's not even close. St. John Arena. We talked a little bit on the way over here, and just – my first year there when we won the Big Ten, our students are on the floor right in the bleachers. And when we were good, the roof would fly off that place. Yes. Great venue. I would be a let's go back to state tournament in St. John Arena.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Yeah.
I don't think it's even close.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Last one for you, and I don't know how many times I've been stopped and asked about this one, especially when we're at Crestview. Who wins one-on-one, Doug Etzler versus Dave Bowen?
In my prime.
If you lose today, I'm done. I'm done.
Oh, boy.
He played in front of Gary Williams, in a tryout.
That's right. I'm going to back him down. He's not going to be able to stop me.
Dave's talking trash.
If he misses one shot.
They used to call him.
But he may not miss one
that's
shot.
That's the key. I don't know if I'd miss. I think I'm going to go me. I'm going to make all the shots.
They used to call him the French field finisher. I'm telling you.
That's a great question, Miles. That's a lot of fun.
Well, Doug, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you in. And best of luck with your team next year. And you're doing everything the right way. I know I tell you that all the time. But super proud of you and the program. And Dave and I talk about it all the time. I'm a USV guy. And we had so many battles with you guys back in the day. And I remember my senior year, Brett Norris scored like 70 against us, but congratulations on all your accomplishments.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I do truly appreciate all the coverage we get. And like I said, we're spoiled, and people don't know how spoiled we are until you go away and come back home. And WOSN does a great job of covering us. We're on the radio a lot also. So I appreciate all you guys do of promoting our athletes and getting us on TV. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah,
thanks.
All right, guys, let's do it. Let's talk about your Stolle Superstar and Sensational Team of the Week.
And Nate, you want to get started?
So I'm taking Dave here. I have Isla Hughes.
He did. I saw it here.
As soon as you said it, I'm like,
pitcher. I saw him taking notes seriously when I was speaking.
Hershey's good.
Yeah, Lincoln View pitcher. I wanted to highlight she had the perfect game against LCC where she had 11 strikeouts. A fantastic game. Give credit to Chris Howell. You know, it's difficult this time of year for us. We don't see as much sports as we're used to seeing in the fall and the winter. And so we have to rely on, you know, Mark Allstetter and the Chris Howells and all these guys who are out and about. And, Chris Howell did a great job writing up all of the recent softball results and some highlights. And as I was reading through those, seeing Isla, I haven't had a chance to see her. This is the first time her name had even come across for me. But as a freshman to throw a perfect game, 11 strikeouts, very, very impressive. So Isla Hughes is my Stolle Superstar of the week. And then for Stolle Sensational Team of the Week, I'm staying with softball, and it's the Allen East Mustangs girls softball team. Listen to this game, fellas. Okay, they won a game against Columbus Grove 19-18 in seven innings. Okay, Allen East was up 7-2, then trailed 9-8, got back up 15-9. It was then tied 15-15. Allen East goes back up 17-15 before finally winning it in the bottom of the seventh. They were up 17-15, go down 18-17 in the top of the seventh, and then the bottom of the seventh come back and win it 19-18. The back and forth, all the runs, all the scoring. Taylor Nichols led the team in offense, went 4-for-4, three doubles, scored three runs as well. She's a UNOH commit, a fantastic player. But to be able to go through that ebb and flow and that roller coaster ride of momentum back and forth and back and forth and still find a way in the bottom of the seventh after you've given away this lead so many times to find a way to win. My choice for this week is the Allen East Mustangs
softball
team. Sounds
like an amazing game.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Dave?
For me, I'm going to stay with Isla Hughes, and you spoke about her as well, Nate, but I'm going to stay with the Lincoln View Lancer softball team as well. They're 9-1, 2-0 in the Northwest Conference.
How'd they lose?
They lost to Fairview 17-13, and I'm pretty sure Ida Hughes did not pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but in their last four games, they have outscored their opponents 50-6. Coach Schwab, his team won the Northwest Conference last year, and they are putting themselves in position to have a deep, deep tournament run this year with this team.
Dave, as a Crestview guy, I think you're growing. I think you are maturing.
Also, you get out of the admin area. You can kind of like open your mind a little bit, right?
And he's like, Lincoln, you have sports? Yeah,
exactly. There's a lot of nice people over in Lancer Land.
Isla Hughes is one of them. Yeah.
But yeah, they beat Salina, Marion Local, Bath, and LCC their last four games by a total score of 50-6, and that's pretty impressive. And Coach Schwab, Eric Schwab, he's a basketball official, if you guys recall, and he's led this program now. And again, they're going to be a force in Division VI.
Mine, Marissa Bonham, the sophomore at Riverdale. I was at the Columbus Grove track meet, and the sophomore won the 100. 200 and 400, which is pretty amazing, especially which when you consider all the great track programs that were in that meet, absolutely amazing. The team Miller City, because of the girls' distance, I know it's a team award, but I should say maybe Andrea Fowle, she should get it because she won the 16 and the 32. Their distance team was fantastic at that track meet. So it is Riverdale, Marissa Bonham, and Miller City girls, Andrea Fowle.
For me, guys, it's Wapakoneta Baseball. They are 5-0 undefeated. Listen to this. They beat OG, LCC, Salina, Ben Logan, New Bremen. Some really good baseball programs. Grant Jolly throws six innings against OG.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
1-0. I bet that game took about 35 minutes.
Yeah. You're kind of game, mate.
Those are my times of game.
Grant Jolly is a really good pitcher.
He is.
It's just amazing when you look at some of these schools, and we talk about Wapak in football terms in baseball. It's just amazing how they just continue to win and win and win, and it's just a culture. We talked about that earlier with Crestview and with LCC and other schools. It's just a culture that they don't accept mediocrity, and Wapak is one of those schools. Facilities, personnel, kids, coaching.
It's important.
It is. It's important.
All right, so Danny, can I add one? Because it occurred the week that we were off when you're in Vegas, because we did two shows and we had a week off. Amari Wash at Elida, because did you see what he did?
He went to about the camp, right?
Yeah, the MVP, camp. Yeah, he went to the Elite 11 and he got the MVP there.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
The day after, you and I saw him run track that finished up at 9:30 at night over at Bath, and then he drives the next morning and he wins the Elite 11 MVP, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Guys, Buckeye basketball talk. We lose another player. Austin Parks, the local St. Mary's product, decides to go to the University of Toledo. Gentlemen, how big of a loss is that to the program, and how well does Austin do at his next stop?
I think he's going to do well, Toledo. I think it's a good move for Austin Parks. I think he's going to put himself in position. Let's see if we're talking a year from now that Austin Parks has put his name back in the portal again, because he had a really good year at UT, and he's trying to get back up to the Big Ten level possibly. But I think it's a great opportunity for him to get consistent minutes. I don't think it's really going to hurt Ohio State that much. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, everything Dave said, I 100% agree with. I don't think that Ohio State, and it's no shade on Austin Parks, I just think the way that program is built right now with their personnel, that was a skill set that they weren't looking for, or he didn't at least have what they wanted as far as a lot of minutes on the floor. He wasn't going to get a lot of time. If you don't get a lot of time, you're not going to develop. That's going to hurt you and stunt your growth, and then you're not going to help the program at any point. So I think leaving was a good move for Austin. I think he will do well in the MAC. I think he's a better fit in those right now. I do agree with you. I think he goes there if he can get some minutes, establish himself. He can get himself back into a position where if he wants to go back up to a Power Four, he can, and put himself back in the portal and see where he may land. I think a lot of it's going to come down to what Austin wants to do with his career for basketball, right? Is basketball just this love that he has right now when he's going to play it, why he gets his degree and goes to school? If so, Toledo's where he needs to be and he needs to stay. I think that he'll have a lot of success. I think he'll have more fun. And I think at this point in his career, right, like that's where he has earned the right to have some fun playing basketball again,
right?
Some
minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. And, but if he's looking to maybe want to do something and go overseas or maybe have a professional career of some kind, then you got to take this time to get that growth
going, get the development back up, and maybe give yourself an opportunity to go back up into a Power Four and up your profile.
Dave, what was one of the biggest weaknesses for the Buckeye basketball team this year?
Inside play.
Right, and rebounding, right? So you have this kid in your program for 2 years.
And he didn't see the floor.
He didn't see the floor, right? And then you maybe by the time of your third year is when you should make that big jump. And then you let him go, and you don't have anybody that can rebound. It's kind of weird to me. I think Toledo's going to be a great fit for him because they lost seven guys in the rotation. That means there's going to be plenty of minutes. And Todd Kowalczyk, you say what you will about them at Toledo. They can't get to the NCAA tournament five times. They've been the number one seed in the MAC. They win games in the regular season, right? Toledo's a program that hasn't been to the NCAA tournament since 1980. Maybe Austin Parks is part of that solution that helps them get there.
Guys, for me, and I'll continue to say it, I don't understand how he didn't see the floor. I really don't. Here's a 6'10", 260-pound kid with tree trunk legs that can catch the ball in the post. We've talked about it a lot. John Chaney from Temple used to say, if a kid can't catch the ball in the post, you cut him from day one because he's going to come back and hurt you. Austin Parks can catch the ball in the post. The battle's halfway over. I just never understood it, and he never got consistent minutes, and therefore he never got consistently better. I'm not saying he was a difference maker at Ohio State. I just don't understand how, with what we had, he couldn't get on the floor.
But I think that goes back to the point of he just wasn't in their plans. And so for him, the best choice is to go somewhere else.
Yeah. No, you know,
if they're not going to, if they don't see him as part of the solution, don't waste your time if you're Austin.
He's a back-to-the-basket kind of guy. What he has to do is somebody has to teach him to put the ball on the deck, be able to go out from 12 to 15, knock that down. He's got to rebound. He's got to defend. That's his strong points of his game. So I think he'll do fine at Toledo.
I just don't understand how we gave minutes to a guy that was 7'1" that wouldn't rebound,
right,
and a kid that's 6'10" that at least try to rebound. That's what I didn't understand.
And I agree, but that's a different discussion. As far that's not in Austin Parks' control.
No, right. You're right.
That's a great point. I agree.
Yeah.
Guys, as Austin Parks leaves Ohio State, Brandon Noel comes in from Wright State, the 6'8 junior, averaged 18. That was coming.
No.
Why did I? Yeah, I should have just said Brandon. Look, there's no secret. The last guy from Wright State that came in didn't really help us much at all.
Hit that three from out of bounds, though. Remember that?
Yeah, he did. Which shouldn't have counted.
No, that was great.
But there's a lot of good to say about this kid. Nobody's going to root harder for this kid than me, but this is a big jump from Wright State.
Well, Danny, anytime you need talent, you go to the riches of Wright State and you bring in
horizon,
talent. Well, all right. So
it's my wife's alma mater. You better be careful.
I'd probably recruit her more. 19 points, 6 rebounds, right? It's tough to get excited about. You watch his film. Other than the beard, what stands out, right? He just looks like a real slow offensive player.
Well, listen, he brings a couple of big attributes I think is going to help this team. Do I think that he is going to be a starting five, every minute on? No, I don't think that's what he's coming in to do anyway. You're talking about a sixth-year guy who's going to be able to bring some maturity and some leadership into the program.
I said junior, he's senior.
Yes.
You're right.
Sixth-year guy. And he's 6'8", and shoots almost 40% from behind the arc in his career.
His numbers are good. Yeah, his numbers are good.
Okay.
Against?
But it doesn't matter. He can shoot the three.
He's played Division I. Year. I'll say
that. And the Horizon League has had some good teams. And look, he has spent 4 or 5 years playing college basketball at the Division I level. Regardless, Miles, of where it's at, playing college basketball at the Division I level is not easy. And he has shown that he can shoot at a high clip from behind the arc.
I love that.
You bring this guy in who stands at 6'8 and can shoot almost 40% from the three-point line. You're not asking him to come in and be your starting number one superstar. That's not going to be his role. But if he can come in and he can fill in and be that role player and come in and give you some nice minutes and be able to be a threat from behind the arc to stretch that offense and to stretch the defense, then you got a good player here.
Look, if he helps us get to that next spot where we don't have to go to places like Wright State to get talent, Ohio State should be Ohio State, right?
We just pulled guys from Kentucky. How'd that work out?
It did not work.
It doesn't matter. As long as you hit on the right guys, then you'll be fine. Again, I don't think if you're looking at this guy to come in and crack the starting five and play every minute of the game and be a superstar and a stalwart of the team, you're going to be very disappointed. But if you temper your expectations, he's going to come in along with the other transfers and be maybe key reserve guys, then I think we're looking at a valuable piece.
Why can't Ohio State develop post players?
I mean, the game has changed. They want to be stretch fours, stretch fives. You want to shoot the ball from outside. But when it comes down to it, you gotta recruit the body that can work in the post.
Michigan did it.
They did.
Yeah,
but we haven't.
Right.
Ohio State has not.
That's because Danny Holbrook's not on staff. Diebler, hire Danny Holbrook.
But getting back to Brandon, I knew that on April 21st, I was going to be on the Three Wise Men to talk about Brandon Nowell. So I went and watched him live back on February 5th.
I love your prep. It's I love amazing. It. Yeah, that's
Purdue, awesome. Fort Wayne.
You have internet in Conway.
I went to the Coliseum. Fort Wayne Coliseum.
You watched him
live.
Okay.
I was there.
Tickets to that?
We were even up high, and they gave us seats down at the floor. No. I was under the basket. Yeah.
Once they found out who you were.
They knew. Exactly, yeah. But I watched Brandon. No, he had 25 points that night against Fort Wayne Purdue. We went, actually, in all honesty and full disclosure, Brett Norris's son was a point guard for Wright State, and Brett Norris, former coach at Delphi St. John's, former Crestview basketball player. And Brandon Nowell will be a good role player for Ohio State.
Yeah.
If he is willing to get his uniform dirty every night, diving for loose balls and things of that nature, he will help in that capacity, help with the culture of Ohio State basketball. But he's got to be a working man's basketball player.
Dave, do you agree that he is a good signing? Not a great signing, but a good signing. Yeah. He's not going to hurt us.
No, he's not. He's not going to start.
That's where we're at as a program.
He's not going to hurt us.
We talked about that earlier. When programs get to the point where they say,
he's not going to hurt us.
Yeah, he's a glue guy.
Oh, my gosh.
He's tough-nosed. Yeah. He's got a mid-range jumper. But I don't know.
He
shot 38% from three, Nate, but I'm not sure that that's going to translate. And then his highlight film shows him posting up a lot, and that's not going to happen at 6'8 in the Big Ten. It's not. So he's got to figure out what his role can be to contribute to this team, and in my mind, it's bringing grit, fight, determination, and getting the ball to who can score.
The one thing, though, too, and this is going to sound kind of conceited, but the kid's from Lucasville, Ohio. He's a 6'8 kid, and I don't think any of us heard about him in high school. Like he wasn't on any of our radars, Brandon Nowell, I didn't know about him, and that's odd because I dive into this stuff, you know. And so when I saw his name, I'm like, never heard of the kid. And then I saw his numbers, and I'm like, how did I miss him? But he's developed every year. He's gotten better every year.
Dave, what do you like about his game after seeing him in person?
I liked his moxie. He did attack the basket. He was engaged in the game for every minute he was on the floor.
Aren't you supposed to be?
I know, but in today's world of college kids, and especially maybe
you zone out of this show sometimes.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, exactly. We've had to wake you up.
Yeah, where
I'm
again?
Not Gilly.
They were in control of that game the whole way.
Okay,
Fort Wayne or
Wright State?
Wright State. Yeah.
I mean, for Jake Dealer's sake, he better be able to at least help.
That's
them.
A great point.
Because Jake Dealer's leash is not going to be very long, he's not going to get a lot of these off seasons to hit the transfer portal and to bring kids in and to get this program turned around. He's not going to get the grace that we have seen the last three Ohio State basketball coaches get. So he's going to have to start hitting on some of these guys.
Yeah, you can't go 3-8 down the last 11 like last year.
Guys, let's switch gears, and we're going to stay at Ohio State, and we're going to talk about the spring game. What pleased you about the spring game? What are you concerned about? Again, it's the spring game. And the other thing is what would you go after in the portal right now? Because that's the name of the game.
I liked Sayan. I liked his arm strength. I liked the way the ball popped to the receivers. Defensive line is where I think you can do some more work. You can always do work on the defensive line. As far as going into the portal again, I sort of like the attitude of this is who we are. You guys have waited your turn. Let's go to work.
See, I'm kind of in that camp too. I don't see a lot of need to go to the portal other than maybe a quarterback.
Yeah,
add depth.
I was going to say a veteran quarterback because, you know, if Keen Olds gets hurt or Sane gets hurt, and then all of a sudden you turn to a true freshman, you're trying to
Which
win
Danny
an
wants
title.
Anyway, because he's best friends with him.
That's my guy.
He did things. Tavian Sinclair did things in that spring game that makes you get excited because they were so athletic, right? But Julian Sane, oh, man, he's going to be the real deal. Yeah. Absolutely navigates the pocket perfectly, keeps his eyes up. The ball placement is there. That throw to Claire up the seam was just sensational.
Which is weird because when you and I saw him last fall in camp,
you just kept saying how small he was.
I know.
He's so small.
But he just, you could tell he was brand new to the program.
Yeah, yeah. You know? His ability, because he's still, they list him as 6'1". Yeah. No, who are you kidding, right? He's not 6'1", right?
He's Drew Brees 5'10".
But he always finds the open spot. Yeah. His arm slot, his ability to move and see is fantastic. He's got to be special.
For me, I think it's going to be defensive tackle. I think they need to go in.
They have to.
They have to go. I think that's a good place in the portal, try to go find some guys and bring them in. For me, I thought Bo Jackson.
He's good.
Right? Yeah. Get some things to be excited about.
Three really
about.
Good running backs. Yeah. Three really good ones.
And it might even be who we really didn't see, who you might be the most excited about, because people's had two carries.
Absolutely love them.
You only get that many carries in that game if they are convinced they know who you are and what you can do. And so that, I mean, as far as that might have been the most exciting is the fact that, okay, we knew that the backfield was going to be a huge question mark with the loss of Travion, you're right, and Judkins, Quintel. We might be all right. I mean, the coaching staff must feel real good about where he's at as a back.
I will make a prediction right now. Peoples will have over 100 yards in that first game against Texas. It'll be his big coming out party. He'll be a 1,200-yard rusher next year.
Yeah, and I think, and I really like Max Clair. I think that tight end room is really good. I just think they're going to, Christian Bennett, there's some really good athletes in there. And then I didn't even mention the kid from Georgia. Can't even think of his name. The tight end.
Number 15.
Yeah.
Jelani.
Yeah. So he's really good. I'm really excited.
Yeah, nice catch up the seam on that.
There were some reports about Mylon Graham. Did you guys get
the kid from Tulane?
Yeah. The things I was reading, they're saying that this could potentially be a Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson hybrid of a player.
Yeah.
How can that room get any better?
He's a four receiver.
Unbelievable.
So does it come back to, again, they have to establish the culture as to there's only one football. We got to share it.
They've been able to do that.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
I just think there's so much youth. I don't know that necessarily will be a problem because who outside of Jeremiah, right? Like, who's that? He's going to have to
and
get the ball.
And everybody knows he's the freak,
right? You know what I mean? Yeah. There's so many other pretty much new type guys that I don't think you're going to have that problem of I have to have the ball because they all have to prove themselves right now.
When Urban brought in taking the black stripe away,
everybody started
to understand, when I come in there, there's no way to get to the top unless I work so hard because everybody in front of me is working 10 times harder than I've ever had to work. And they're in that culture. That's how you develop it. And that's exactly what they've done at Ohio State. Yeah.
The only drawback I have for Max Clair is he's a little bit light when you see him. Is he going to be able to block at the point of attack, right? Because if he can't, you can't put him on the field unless Claire's on the field. They're throwing the football, right?
Well, they'll run packages for him too. And,
yeah, but when he's out there, you can say, he's not running. They're not running the football. He's got to be able to be an inline blocker.
Yeah, that's true. Guys, another great week. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, Dave did a good job, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been watching.
People need to know who Diamond Dave is.
That's right. We got to bring the namesake on every now and then. Right?
Let's be honest. We had you on because you drove Doug Etzler up.
Exactly. That was his chauffeur.
We got to hang out with Ohio State legend, and you came along.
Yeah. And then there's Dave.
Fair enough. I appreciate it.
Thanks for watching The Three Wise Men, everybody. We'll see you next week.